Well, what a great day to be in church, to sing, to celebrate. I trust that you today enjoy times with your family, that you drive carefully, that you won't eat quite too much, that you will let the Christ child resonate with your soul and lead you into a new year. If this is your first time here, or if this is your Christmas special, if you come here just on Christmas times, then you're most welcome. Thank you for being part of worship this morning and celebrating this wonderful news that Christ has been born. I want to talk to you briefly this morning about God's intent for Christmas, and that is to say, God's idea behind this whole Christmas thing. Sounds really boring, but just stick with me for a few minutes and see how we go, and see if at the end I did a good job. It seems to me that there are a lot of strange things that happen in the world, and a lot of strange things that go on in the world. Any glance of YouTube or various websites will give you a whole series of strange events that take place. I happen to have a few bizarre facts that I wanted to read out to you this morning. Did you know that in Oklahoma, in the US of A, it is illegal to give alcohol to fish? Didn't want you to get caught with that one, so just... In Greenbury Hill, London, 1641, three men were hung for the murder of the local magistrate. The three men's surnames were Greenberry and Hill. I'm led to believe in Italy, you can buy a ready-made coffin that has beepers, two-way speakers, a torch, a small oxygen tank, and a sensor to detect a heartbeat, just in case. This one. In 1664, 1785, and 1860, three passenger ferries sank off the coast of North Wales. Amazingly, each disaster occurred on the 5th of December. But even more bizarre, on all three occasions, the name of the solo survivor was Hugh Williams. Unbelievable, isn't it? Centuries apart. There are a lot of particular and odd things happening in our world, and there are a lot of particular and odd people that happen in our world as well. And so people do some crazy and strange things. So many strange people that sometimes it boggles my mind. Let me read out a couple of examples of strange people incidents that I found. Story from Melbourne. I'm assuming this is true. I found it on the internet. It's got to be true. I live in a semi-rural area, and we recently had a new neighbour call the local council office and request the removal of the wombat crossing sign on the road. The reason, she said, there are too many wombats being hit by cars out here, it's not a good place for them to cross. In case you just think that's Victorians, here's one from South Australia. Apparently, I quote, I was at the airport checking in at the gate when an airport employee asked me, "Sir, has anyone put anything in your baggage without your knowledge?" To which I replied, "If it was without my knowledge, how would I know?" To which he smiled knowingly and nodded, "That's why we ask." Here's another plane story. I don't think this one's from South Australia. I couldn't find my luggage at the airport baggage area, so I went to the lost luggage office and told the woman that my bags were not there. They hadn't shown up. She smiled and told me not to worry, as they were trained professionals and I was in good hands. Now, she asked me, has your plane arrived yet? One more. This is from Sydney, Bankstown in Sydney. My daughter and I went to a Mexican takeaway and ordered a taco. She asked the person behind the counter for minimal lettuce. The person behind the counter said he was sorry, but they only had iceberg lettuce. You know, you just have to shake your heads in disbelief sometimes, don't you? You go, what is going on? What do people not understand about common sense? Weird things happen all the time. But there's a far more bizarre story, a more bizarre thing, and it's the reason we're here today. The bizarre story goes a bit like this. You might have heard it before. A young girl, probably even early teens, is pregnant and out of wedlock. Her fiancé resolves to marry her anyway, and the not-so-elected politicians of the land decide to make everyone to go to their historical homes for a national tally that causes incredible upheaval in the whole country. A celestial being appears independently to the engaged couples and assures them that this is God's plan. And more to the point, this child is a holy child conceived by the Spirit of God. Away from home and with no modern hospital facilities, the couple have their son, a child, in a shelter, a cave, a stable, whatever, with a cattle feed trough for a bassinet. Farmers in the paddock get the scare of their life with beings who appear in the sky, tell them about this child being born, and they leave the sheep that were supposed to be guarding all night and rush to see what's going on with this child. Strangers from the east follow a cosmological light for months, and it leads them to the same place where the child is. They bring out pre-prepared gifts of odd things, things for death and things for birth. And then they worship this infant whom no one knows anything about. Amazing story. A fascinating story that God would come to earth in this way, that God would enter into the world in a backwater town with no human fanfare, no great parades, no media campaign to let us all know that it was happening, no A-list celebrity invitation, but the news was given to social and ethnic outcasts, people not held in high regard, people who were, for lack of a better word, just very ordinary, mundane, everyday people. And there's a whole host of information there in all that, those few little details that I could give you, but I want you to get home for Christmas dinner. So I'll get to my point. Because that's not the strangest thing. That story is not the strangest thing. That Christmas story is not strange in comparison to what I want to tell you next. You see, the strangest, the most weird, wonderful thing is this. That was all done for you. That was all done for you. See, this is where it gets really interesting. This is where it comes home to us. This is where it makes a difference. That this is where Christmas is more than just a story. This is where it relates to now. The strangest thing of all, in my opinion, is that the ultimate source of all power in the entire universe, the biggest being that we could ever imagine, the grand architect of all things, would consider you. That's got to be bizarre. Amazing, strange, unfathomable. I don't know how to comprehend that. I don't really know how to deal with that. I mean, what have I done to deserve this? This act on my behalf. You know, when I think for a few of the few good things that I've done, and there's just a handful of good things that I've done, I quickly see how they were tainted with self-interest and pride. How my own agendas got in the way. And I'm sure if you were to think deeply about the good things that you've done too, you might come to similar conclusions. But here is the good news. This is why the angels announced it to the shepherds. They said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Because it is good news. God has come to us. God has blessed us with his presence, blessed us with his love, poured out his mercy on people who didn't deserve it. People like me. And the startling truth of Christmas is that we did and we cannot do anything to deserve God's love. For we all need a Savior, and God gives us one every Christmas time, again and again and again. We are reminded of this wonderful fact, that while we didn't deserve it, we still get it. God gives it to us. And here's the thing. We get to choose. Do we want it or not? Do we want to be different? Do we want to be the same as last year? Do we want to embrace the gift of God and live out of the gift of grace that He has for us? Do we want to make that story part of our story as well? Is it more than a story for you? Or is it a relic, a dusty thing? My friends, this is the strangest thing. The strangest thing is that God chooses us. And what is actually most natural is that we choose Him and we love His Son. Now that's something beautiful. It is bizarre. I can't understand it, but it's true. And it resonates for all of us. Let me finish. I told you I was going to be short. Let me finish with reminding you again of the essence of Christmas from the mouth of the angels to the shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. My friends, that includes you too. Merry Christmas. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for this great news. You have poured into our life wonderful mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this manger that held your Son. And we thank you that it's so much more than a story, that it comes new to us, pours into our life, and transforms us into so much more than we could be by ourselves. I ask, Lord Jesus, for my friends this morning, for all of us, for myself, that you might open our eyes far more than what we've ever seen before, that we might see you, Jesus, that we might know you more than just this child, but we might know you tomorrow and the next day, and all the days, and learn to live with you. In your name we pray. Amen.